Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 195. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Noski.
I'm Austin Morales, and this week on The Inner Gamer, Brett played Zarvot, a nice, cute, little, amazing, well, I don't know if it's cute, but it could be deadly.
It's super cute. It's super cube.
Oh, wow. And me and him definitely jump into Red Dead Redemption 2, talk about some of our experiences we've had in the past week. And the gaming news, Sony reveals the full PlayStation Classic lineup. Some good, some not so good. And is the price point on cue or on point? Price point on point? Yeah. I don't know. Have to next find story out. And we get all 74 Smash characters revealed in the last Nintendo Direct. So stay tuned to hear all about that. And in our discussion topic, we talk about BlizzCon. All the great stuff everyone's getting except for one fan base. And it happens to be everyone that's a fan of Blizzard. So basically, Blizzard's biggest fail. You're going to hear it all right here on The Inner Gamer. And just going to hit that button for cueing the music.
Brett, cue that music.
No, Brett. Welcome to The Inner Gamer.
It is November 6, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to support us on Patreon for as little as $12 a year, $1 a month. You can make this podcast better and we'll give you goodies along the way, such as free drinks when you come to see us at events, or Discord channel invites where you can play video games with us, or newsletters that will be coming out soon that you can get new content for. Or what else, Austin?
You know, all the good things.
All love, the good things.
Happiness in the world.
What are you going to give them? You got to give them something.
Love and happiness. Wow. You get a hug from me.
See, you get a
big
hug.
Old manly bear hug.
You get a virtual hug from Austin. Because if you're not from Dallas-Fort Worth, you may not be able to get a hug from him.
It's okay. It'll be an IOU hug. And next time I see you in your city, I will give you a hug.
Exactly. Speaking of being in our city, if you guys are in Dallas or Fort Worth, we would love for you to come and join us at our next event at New Main Brewing Company. We will be at Pantego, which most of you probably don't know what Pantego is, but it's a little tiny town in between Dallas and Fort Worth. And we will be there at this brewery with Game Night Dallas and the Controllers and Keyboards podcast from Granberry. And we're going to be there playing Rock Band. It's going to be the Battle of the Bands Rock Band Edition. You will team up with four people, make a team, a band of four people, and rock it out to compete for greatness. The title of the best band at New Main. There'll be beer. There will be probably food. There will be bands playing music. It's going to be great. So you guys should come out and bring your friends and play some Rock Band November 9th, this Friday.
Better hurry.
Or be square.
Or be a rock god. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being square, I want to talk about a game I've been playing where you play as a cube. It's called Zarvot.
Ah.
And I just started playing it yesterday, and it's awesome. It is a game made by Snow Hydra Games. It is one guy, Sam Ng, who basically did all the programming, art, and design for this game. And it is a very pretty game that came out for the Switch. I believe right now it's a Switch exclusive. And it is a very simple game that has way more content than I would imagine this game would have. But it's got a story campaign, like an actual story campaign. It has a Beyond the Story campaign. It also has a versus mode where you can play with your friends and fight each other. And you also have an arcade mode where you can just like play arcade levels and just like fight a bunch of waves of bad guys. And so I've been playing the campaign. I played about half of the campaign so far. It's not very long. It's probably like 4 or 5 hours long. And I put about 2 hours of time into it, two and a half thereabouts. And it's a very interesting kind of experience because you play as these cubes, and these cubes have a lot of personality. It reminds me of like Night of the Woods and the personality that's in there. It's all text-based dialogue.
Very funny.
Yeah.
That you say that.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I mean, I think it's not funny. It's interesting. Comparable to Night in the Woods, yes, which is apparently a really good game. I haven't played it yet, but
so good. Dude, it's so good. But yeah, so they have a lot of really unique personalities to the characters. You play as Charcoal, and you're a blue cube, and then you meet up with Mustard, who is a yellow cube, and you're trying to get a present together for your friend, Red, who is off on the other side of town. So you're going on a journey to give your present to Red. So you have to find an organic banana, and then you have like a whole bunch of ingredients in there that can make like boba tea smoothies, and that's basically what you're delivering to him. And during the process, you're like fighting a bunch of bad guys, meeting new characters. You meet a beetle. You meet another cube that is
one
pissed
of the
off.
Yeah, no way.
Right? You meet a cube that's pissed off that he can't get coffee and he needs coffee to like live through the day. So he has to go find a coffee cup for him and deliver the coffee cup. And then the store owner opens just for him. And it was really funny. That was the beetle that owns the store of the coffee. He serves coffee and all that stuff.
So my girlfriend loves boba tea now. Like, it absolutely loves boba tea. She's like, if there's
Bethany's.
A boba tea. Well, no. Well, she's already known about Bethany's. Yeah, yeah. Bethany's is a place near my place where we grew up. And like, anytime she's like, hey, there's a boba place over here. We should go check it out. I'm like, no, we don't need to go check it out. Anyway, I think she'll like this game because she likes coffee and she likes boba tea. So
I think so. Yeah.
She might as well just eat this game up.
Eat it up, literally.
Or drink it up.
Yeah. But it's got a really cute, like, pretty art style to it because it's very, has a realistic graphic look to it. But it's isometric. They do a lot of zoom in moments on the characters. There's like kind of like a bloom effect to all the art. And,
well, they have a lot of neon lighting, it looks like.
Yeah. Neon lighting, glows, shallow depth of field. All that stuff is scattered throughout the game, and it creates for a really cool atmospheric tone. I like that a lot. And so far, I mean, it's a fun game. The shooting mechanics are really cool because you, as Charcoal, have the ability to fight things. Your buddy Mustard cannot fight things. He just provides colorful commentary. But as Charcoal, you can fight things. And you can shoot with your... X, I believe it. No, it was B, Y. No, you press X or Y, and you're shooting out your gun. And then after you shoot out the gun, a laser beams, basically. But you can hold down that button to shoot like a far-flying laser. And then in addition to that, you have another move that you can use that creates a basically like a spinning saw blade around your body to like get close, like people that are nearby. You can like just start cutting them up and stuff.
I like
that.
And
then you have a like a bomb blast where you hold down a button and it creates a circle around you. And then based on like where people are, if people are touching the circle, it'll like blow up all around them and like kill them, instant kill kind of deal. And so there's a lot of different game like ways to attack the enemy. There's a dash and a jump too, so you can like be very maneuverable, which translates really well in a multiplayer, which you and I played with a couch co-op. So what did you think of like playing that?
So I remember seeing this game. I was like, this actually looks like an interesting game.
Yeah.
And I was considering, you know, I was really considering getting it at the time, and then. Now that you got it, I was able to play it. Like, it's confirmed that this is a good game. Like, the mechanics look interesting. There was another game prior to this I saw that dealt with cubes, but it was more of a it was a puzzle game. So basically, like, you can go through these levels made out of like pathways that are like in the air, and then you have to like solve these puzzles. And you have multiplayer, both of you guys have to work together in order to get through these levels.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, that looked like a cool game. And now that you put freaking, I guess it's laser guns, but you shoot, and then having the mechanics of like, you know, melee attacks and stuff like that. Like, and the level we played was called the Forest. And there's a bunch of like, I want to say grid, but there's a lot of boxes and walls, I guess you can say.
Yeah, they're like brick concrete walls that are set up. And this is scattered throughout the whole entire game. So like, there's moments where you'll be playing a... you'll be going through the level, going down these roads and stuff like that, and they're there blocking the enemies that are trying to come and get you, and they call them glassist. So I think they might glassist. Be like glass cubes, maybe. But the glassist are trying to get through the walls. So once you start tearing down the walls, and it opens them up to attack,
right?
And then you can start taking them down. So yeah, this is like kind of those obstacles are everywhere, and there's different modes when you're playing the single player campaign. You get into these little like arena areas where it says like, you know, like you enter a space where you're like walled into like an arena, mm-hmm. and then you have to then surpass and beat off the waves of enemies before you can go to the next round.
Right.
So it's like mini boss battles, basically. There's like been 3 or 4 boss battles I played so far.
That's cool.
And some of them are really hard. Like I played one last night where I was fighting a big, huge mango melon thing that was red that's like consumed my guy. and my friend, and so I had to shoot at it. And then what it would do is at moments it would stop and like shoot out from four corners like flaming fire, and it would spin around in circles. So you had to like make sure you're in the right area so you weren't in the flaming fire. But then he would unleash other enemies at you that were like spinning saw blades that would come after you and stuff like that. Man. So there was a lot of challenge. Like I had to play that one like six times to like beat it. And but it was a really cool like boss battle mechanic, and like every time I was like, oh, I gotta get back in there, I know what to do now, I can do this and I can do that,
right.
And yeah, so that was really neat. But there's a
so back to my point.
Oh yeah, you had a point. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, yeah,
kind of took over there, Brett, thanks a lot. I just quit this podcast right now.
So back to your
but I like that. Yeah, it's like destructible environment, so as you're battling and you try to get to 10 kills, like less and less of the environment is there for you to like hide behind. I think that's awesome. Right. Yeah. Like I think that makes for a good, like a good combat, a good level too, because it changes over time. So it's not just the same thing.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to change your strategy as you progress and kills. And then it's nice that the one we had like two raised platforms. So if you needed to get away, you could jump up and you can't shoot at the person. You have to be on their level or jump up and shoot and time it right. And I think that's for me, like I like that kind of tactical thinking you have to do as you progress in time.
Yeah.
Opposed to like an FPS where everything's the same and then like you just kind of get down to where people go and stuff like that. I'm thinking of Call of Duty because it'd be like, I know people usually come over here, so I'm going to throw a grenade.
Right.
Or go through this building or hide right here. You know, it's just same old stuff.
Yeah. It's a nice competitive game. Like I think it's up to four players in the arena mode. And I could see us having a blast with this because like every game mode is going to be a little bit different because especially if you're doing like to 10 or whatever, like as you said, like the level is changing as time goes on. And then you come up with new ways to attack the player like creatively, you know, based on like where you are in the positioning of the area. You could like, you know, use somebody else who's in a firefight to like sneak up around somebody else and attack them that way. But it's great. Like it's a $20 game. On Steam or on Steam on the Switch store, and I think it's well worth it. Like $20 is like totally worth the price of admission. Because like I said, there's I think 9 campaign missions, and I'm on 5, so there's 9 total. And so far, I put in like 3 hours probably. So you're probably looking at 5, maybe 6 hours of single player content.
Right.
Plus, then you collect arcade levels as you go through the game. Mm-hmm. You have to find them, but you find these arcade levels that you can do single player to do like wave based missions to just like get better at the mechanic. And then you have your multiplayer. So like, that's a lot of content for $20. You know, it's like I said, it's a pretty pretty game.
Yeah, for an indie game, it's pretty. Yeah. The mechanics are very solid, and there's a diverse amount of gameplay in there. Yeah. This is like a must.
Yeah.
This is one of those hidden gems that you wouldn't think of. Because usually, well, when I heard Zarvat, I immediately thought it was like a European game. Because that's not a traditional English word that I've heard around here. I don't know what the backstory is behind that name. But sometimes a lot of those, I would say that the European, for the most, European area for the most part is like just now kind of rising in the video game industry as like known names. At least some of the ones that like we kind of listened to. So I didn't think this was going to be that good, but man, I was impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, it's a very, very neat idea. And the story is really cool, which I love. And, it touches a little bit on, some deep subjects, but very in a nice, approachable manner, which a lot of games are doing. A lot of indie games started doing that. So I appreciate that. But I was reading an article here about when this game came out and what the development time on it was. So it was made by one guy based in New York City. And they started in 2014. So they've been doing it for 4 years to develop this game. And it's multiplayer brawler, full single player arcade game. And there you have it. So
I
would highly recommend picking this game up. Very, very good. Support the devs. This guy like
blew it out of the park. Co-op too. Like how much, can't get better than that.
Yeah. No, it's great. So yeah. Anyway, Austin. Oh, they're also going to update with a co-op mode and additional levels for AI and multiplayer.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome. Anyway, so Austin, you've been playing more Red Dead, right?
Yeah. So have you.
How much have you played?
I got chapter 3.
Okay, cool. I haven't actually played much this week, which is really sad.
Wait, no. Did Didn't I already get chapter 3? Where am I, Brett? No, I'm in chapter 4? Is there four? There's a 4 chapter, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it's probably...
I can't forget.
I think there's like 6
I've transitioned
chapters.
Out of the last chapter I was in. There's so many missions. There's so much to do. I forget where I'm at. So I haven't looked at the like a list of the levels yet or for a while. I think I am. I think I just got out of chapter 3. Because I was in chapter 2 when I first talked. I was almost in chapter 3. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I'm still digging it, man. Like, I didn't think this would be a casual game for me, and I think that's weird to say for something so big and such like a AAA title and developer. But recently, I haven't had a lot of time to like dedicate to this over the past week.
Yeah.
But it's been the game where I can go in, I can do a few levels, and I can get out. And like, yeah, you know, I am left with like, oh, what's going to happen next? And more some levels more than others, but it's nice that, I mean, I think given the setting and how you travel around, like it makes for like a calming experience, even though obviously there's death and gunfights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's enough to do and there's not an overabundance of stuff to do. I feel like I really enjoy the bounties that you get, but they aren't plentiful. Like they pop up every so often. Like if you go to a town, they'll have a bounty for you.
Oh, you mean like from the sheriff and stuff?
Yeah. But like after I finish that, like, I don't see any other ones around.
Yeah.
And I'm not, well, because I say that because the first two I didn't see any after that. I just did my third bounty.
Yeah.
But like, I haven't seen a lot of that stuff. More like The Witcher, how you can go to different towns and then you can get a plethora of monster bounties to go and find and do and stuff.
Yeah.
This one, not so much, but I like that because it's like, hey, I want to do a bounty right now. So I'm gonna go do this bounty, spend my 30 minutes maybe. And then, you know, I can put the game down and feel like I accomplished something. And there's a bunch of cool cutscenes and stuff like that. And you get some rewards, you get some money, you know, and I've been doing a lot of, I just completed this one mission where I got a crap ton of money and I paid off all of my, what is it called? Not my debts, but when you look at
your bounty,
my bounty. Okay. Yeah. Paid off my bounties and I went to the store and like tricked out my guy with all the like coolest clothes. I didn't have to worry about how much anything costs. Like I have all the money.
Yeah.
So it's nice that they actually give you that. Cause early on, like if you don't want your money, you know, you could have to wait longer than to get some things like upgrading your, what do you call it? Your, base,
right.
Your camp. Yeah. And
which I finally found that this last time after you told me about that, I found the ledger and I was like, oh shit, there's so many things I can upgrade. This is so exciting. So I started doing that.
I didn't know you didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. Man. I was really shocked. I was like, I always went over to that thing, but I never noticed the freaking ledger right next to it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, they made you do it the first time and showed you.
Well, yeah. So I hadn't gone to that point yet.
Oh.
So I was like literally like a mission away from that part. So like they hadn't shown me, so I was like clueless to it. And then the next mission,
gotcha.
I was like, oh, okay, now it makes sense. Cause then they finally showed it to me. So,
right. That's interesting.
Yeah. So that tells you where I was in the game.
Right.
Game progression.
Not very far.
Yeah.
No, but it's nice that I was able to upgrade my camp completely with the money I had. So like I have, everything's tricked out. I have the fast travel, obviously, when you get to level 3 in your camp. But I didn't even find it that interesting. Like, it only takes you to the major cities. And so I feel like some of the, well, where I am now, some of the missions really don't take place in the city.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm still traveling, you know, by horse.
Yeah, I mean, it probably help a little bit, like, cutting down a little bit of time, but not, like, significant amounts of time. You know, you're still, and some people, I mean, you might just want to just explore the city because, like, there are some cool things you encounter. Like I was riding my horse the other day in a mission and I was going to do one of, you know, that one guy you talked to, I forgot who it was. When I was in town, at Valentine, I was told to go and I met this guy who's a writer and he wants to write a book about, did you do this story?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you want to write a book about these people that are apparently the best gunslingers in the West or whatever. So he wanted me to track them down and basically kill them and take pictures of those people being dead. So I went to go find the first guy. And on my journey there, I ran into a woman who was out there by herself in the middle of this field. And I go up to her and she's sitting there uncovering dinosaur bones. and finding those. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So like, I wasn't intending to go there, but I stumbled upon that and learned that she wants me to, if I find dinosaur bones, to let her know and like bring them to her or whatever. And I can like, you know, help her with the archaeological digs and discoveries of dinosaurs.
Very nice.
And
I don't think I did that one.
Yeah. And then I went to the guy's place and like,
that was a side mission,
killed
right?
some pigs. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I like about the side missions is, well, this game's so natural about how things happen, even right. though it is all by choice, yeah. minus like, well, even the main missions are by choice. You could decide how you want to do that.
Yeah.
I like how they have multiple points out, but then like I have fallen into some side missions and it's just kind of like, oh, this was here, do it. And it's like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like other games where it's like, well, especially Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where you kind of have to do it, even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
I think they've done a superb job with that. Like pacing in this game is kind of slow, but for the most part, like it's natural, which is hard to say for like, I think that's kind of weird to say, yeah. honestly.
So I'm curious on that note, I was listening to Kind of Funny Games and they were talking, they have differing opinions about this game.
Okay.
You have Jared Petty, who's like a big Red Dead fan.
Right.
And then you have Greg Miller, who's like also a big Red Dead fan. Greg Miller is like not super hyped on this game. And then Jared Petty is super hyped on this game.
I could see that.
But like they were talking about some interesting tidbits about this. Cause like Jared Petty feels like everything in this game is hyper intentional. Like you know, there's parts where like you can choose whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, but basically when it comes down to it, you're a bad guy. Like that's hard to escape the fact that you are a bad guy. As good as you are. But he likes that because he feels like that is a struggle with your inner self of like when you have a position where like the only thing you can do is threaten or beat a person, like, and you can try and walk away, but you still have to do it. Like you feel so bad about yourself. Then by trying to push back against the direction of your character over time, he's hoping that it'll get to where like, you know, like you see your character evolve more so because you don't want to be doing these things that they're making you have to do. And so like internally your struggle is that you don't want to do these things, but you have to now be as your character is evolving over time. And then whereas Greg Miller is just like, I just don't like the fact that like they give me this choice, but it's really not really in his mind. It's not a choice, but neither of them have, I think Jared Petty's beat it, but Greg Miller hadn't beat it yet. He was like 20 hours in.
I don't think it's a choice either. I think it's intentional. Like you're an outlaw. This is what this guy has done this whole time. Yeah. They're trying to go straight, but they're still not there yet. I mean, if you look at the missions, it's all about being outlaws. Like they go in, they kill people, they take money. Like the whole thing is like, we need money to survive. So we need to do that any way we can. They're outlaws. They're going to go in, they're going to rob people, and they're going to kill people if they have right. to. Like for them to make a choice, like, am I going to beat this guy or am I going to interrogate this guy? Like, honestly, either choice is valid in those scenarios.
Well, it's more on the lines of the fact that, you know, they give you the options to like, when you go up to people, you can like say hi to them or antagonize them, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And, like if you say hi to somebody, like you can do that all the time, but then the next mission you go into, you're forced to beat somebody. Like that's what the game is. So like as much as you try to be a nice guy, you still have to be a bad guy. So in his mind, it's like this illusion of choice. It doesn't actually exist.
You. Right, right, right.
Whereas Jared Petty thinks that that's an intentional and like that's by design and is like, no, this is actually more...
It could be
a way that like they want you to feel remorse for the actions that you take.
Right.
So that as your character does evolve into this better person,
I see what you're
that
saying.
You can kind of more, you feel that kind of transition happen
right.
more personally, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I see that.
Yeah.
Well, cause we don't know what behind the scenes looks like.
Right.
All we know is that you're getting a negative, you know, bad yeah. guy status or yeah. good guy status. So like, obviously, Mass Effect, you know exactly where you're at, yeah. where you stand, where you're headed. This we don't really know,
yeah.
which could all be an illusion or it could all have some big meaning in the end. You know,
right.
who knows? You know, what is the ending and how does that play into that, really?
Yeah. yeah.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, like for me, the story hasn't gripped me yet as much as like Red Dead 1 did. But what's gripped me is that everything else there is to do in this world has really gripped me. And like really grabbed my attention, which I've enjoyed quite a bit. And like, you know, they were having a story also that this isn't a game you can like jump in and jump out of. But you were saying the opposite is that you feel like you can do some casual kind of play in this game.
Oh,
a little
yeah.
bit. And I see it that way too. Cause I mean, like, yeah, if you want to do like missions, like some of those missions don't really, I mean, they can be long because you have to like travel to the place you're going to. Right. Exactly. But like, if you just want to go into town and just like talk to some people and like do some interactions and stuff like that, or just go hunting for a little bit, like you can do that stuff in like a half hour sitting
easily.
But, yeah, so I think there's a little bit of both worlds there, but,
I mean, it's how you approach the game too, you know? I might feel differently if I didn't have a bunch of money. So I'm like, I'm tricked out. I have everything I need, you know, but I don't know if that really plays a big part into
it. Once I get to the finish of the game, I cannot wait to start using cheat codes because this game, they have cheat codes. And I want to use them so bad, but I'm like, I don't want to have that hamper the experience.
Right. Right.
But I want to use cheat codes really bad.
Right.
Like I cannot wait to like, just like unlimited money and just like buy a bunch of shit and like wreak havoc. Right. So like that's why I'm being a good guy, because like whenever I beat the game, then I'm gonna be like, okay, well now I'm just gonna like just be an asshole and just go around like do crazy things,
do whatever you want. Yeah.
But I'll have all the money to where if I want to like turn off the bounty, you know, I can just like turn off the 5 stars that are coming after me or whatever. So that'll be fun.
I got a story for you.
Yeah.
So St. Denis, which is the big city,
like the New Orleans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I had a mission in there. It had a mission or I was doing something and I was traveling around. I had my cinematic mode on, right? So I just let my horse carry me. Well, there is a part in the city that if you have to travel by, there you're going to see a dude run across the street being chased by an officer. Well, like I do when I'm doing just traveling in the world, I just put my controller down and kind of just do what I want, right? I just might get on my phone, look up something real quick, like why that goes. And so all of a sudden I heard that whistle from the cop. And the next thing you know, he's running in front of my horse and my horse smacks right into him. And guess what happens? I committed a crime.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And it's even worse when you run into a civilian, side note, when you run into a civilian and then you hit them and then you committed a crime. I'm like, really? Really? They ran into me. There's gotta be some like, you know, what do you call it? Like differentiation between me committing a crime and an accident. Anyway, so that spurred into a giant shootout within St. Denis. I lost my horse. I was trying to get out of the city.
Like, and you really lost your horse?
Yeah. Yeah, he died.
That sucks.
And I had just bought this horse. I literally just got the horse. I'm so pissed off. You know, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have this horse for a while. So I tricked it out. I got all the cool stuff on it, you know, changed a bunch of things, bought a bunch of stuff for it. And I was just like, fuck buying a horse in this game because it is pointless. I've had one horse for a while and it finally died. I had it for like,
I don't want mine to die because the horse I'm using now is from my special edition copy that I bought. So I'm like, I don't want to lose that horse. So that's going to suck. But I got multiples. So like,
well, you
I
can
got
get something to revive your horse.
Okay.
So I would definitely buy that.
Oh, I think I got some horse revival stuff. No, I didn't have to buy it because like with the special edition, you get some free shit. Oh,
okay, cool.
And I think that was one of the things that I got was some stuff that'll like revive my horse or whatever.
It was funny because I had this one horse that I just traded. Well, I put in the stables and bought the other one. And I saw it like, do you want to buy horse revivals? And I was like, well, I've had this other horse for so long and nothing's ever happened to it. And lo and behold, as soon as I get this horse, it freaking dies. So pissed off. Anyway, there was a giant shootout. I was running around. I was trying to survive. I was killing cops. My bounty was getting like super high. And I was like, I eventually was just like, screw it. Because I was I ran back into the city to try to get one of the guy's horses that came out after me. And it kept running and running and running. And I kept running. And somehow I dodged a crap load of bullets. And then guess what happened, Brett? I was just about to get it, and some civilian jumps on the horse and takes off with it. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I'm over there, and I was being surrounded by officers. I'm trying to kill them, and you know, dual-wielding pistols isn't the best thing. It really doesn't work too well because it's kind of slow depending on what you have.
You don't have any fire bottles?
I probably do. I just don't use them.
You need to start crafting that shit, man.
Well, they're like around me. So like pulling one out and throwing it at them, I still have two other guys.
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine.
So I was hoping to go like, I guess I could have used my Deadeye. And I keep forgetting to use my Deadeye for some reason.
I forget too, actually.
It's just not, I'm just so used to other games where you don't have it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I end up dying. And I was like, this is the worst mistake ever.
Yeah.
Like I hate the officers. I hate the mechanics behind being wanted. are committing a crime. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
We should turn on the cheats then and just be able to turn
that
off.
I don't want to do that. I know. It's hard. I mean, it's almost worth doing it. I understand. Because it becomes an annoyance after a while.
Because, like the thing that bothers me the most about this game is the controls. As it has in all
still
the games.
Pretty clunky.
Because, like, there will be moments where I'm like, you know, I know to press, like, what is it, L2 or whatever to pull up my contextual menu to, like, talk to people. Well, like, I'll press that and, like, go to press R2 to, like, say something, or, like, not R2, but, I'll go up to something and, like, go to press R2 to do the action that I have to take for that menu item or whatever. And
it's usually square or circle.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know. There's some instances
R2,
where you have to
like,
use
you pull
that.
Out your gun.
Yeah. But, like, there's moments where you have to use R2. I don't remember when it is. But either way, like, I think what it is, too, is that I'm, like, thinking to press L2, and I accidentally press R2, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just pull this out. And then, the next thing you know, I, like, start shooting at people. I'm like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened to me a few times, but luckily, I didn't fire. I just pulled my gun out for some reason. I was like, please don't shoot him.
I did it in the middle of Valentine. I was like, oh, there's a guy out there. He was antagonizing me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was trying to pull out something to just like coerce him and not like shoot him. And I like pressed the button and like pulled out, dead. And then wanted witness coming after me. I was like,
have you tried to hunt down the witnesses? I've tried that a few times. No. And you know what? The people in the city started attacking me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I got in a fight with somebody because he witnessed something.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, oh no, wait, what happened? Something like that happened. And I was trying to like, I was going to tie him up so he couldn't go to the cops.
Right, right.
And just leave him there. But then some other guy who was walking by saw me fighting the citizen. And then so he fought too, started fighting me. So I was trying to beat him up while the other guy was running away. And I almost got to him. He was running out to the field. And then the game, like literally the game came in. He disappeared and said, you're wanted. I was like, what the heck? Because like I got kind of far away from him. And I was hoping that he'd keep running. But I was like, oh, he's just running into the like out into nowhere, right?
Right, right.
So he's not going to tell anybody unless I go catch him. And then the game just fucked me. And I was like, damn
it. That's funny.
I hate that so much.
I want to mention a news story that came out this past week about the sales of Red Dead Redemption. And they achieved the biggest opening weekend in entertainment history. This game came out on Friday. And in 3 days after it came out, it managed to sell $725 million in copies. So that makes it the second highest grossing entertainment launch. Although the original one that is holding the record is Grand Theft Auto 5. So it's both Rockstar games. And it just so happens that Grand Theft Auto 5 released on a Tuesday, so they had a little bit extra leeway to like be opening and stuff like that. But so that's a pretty big thing. That's a lot. And that's not like how many copies they delivered. That's how many copies they sold. So $725 million sold, which is a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm curious to know the copies.
Impressive. Yeah, I am too, actually. That. Because I wonder how many people like bought the Ultimate Edition like I did or bought the Special Edition and stuff like that. So, I don't know.
So, here's a comparison. I'm trying to see what... let's see how much they sold on the PlayStation 4.
No.
Okay. Well, Spider-Man, in its opening weekend, made 3.3 million.
Yeah.
Or no, sold 3.3 million copies.
Okay.
In the first 3 days, it made $3.1 million. And then God of War did exactly not that. And apparently Nathan Drake, or the Uncharted 4, got 2.7 million units wide.
Yeah.
That's a shit ton.
That makes sense for
trying to find, because comparatively,
exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things we're going to talk about next is that, I'm not even going to talk about it next, I'm just going to say it now. So, PlayStation 4 has just recently surpassed 85 million units sold. So they've literally sold 85 million. They've delivered 85 million copies of either a PS4 or a PS4 Pro since they started in 2013.
Yeah.
So like, and this that's a lot of consoles.
This is because of Spider-Man, because of God of War, like those are huge factors in that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they sold 3.1 million units worldwide in the first 3 days of release for God of War.
That's good. That's good.
I don't know how much money that is, but I mean,
it's a lot.
Suck it, EA.
So I've decided. So let me know if you think this is fair.
Okay.
But I jumped back into Spider-Man the other
day.
You're
never fair. No, I'm just kidding.
To play it.
Yes.
And I realized that I forgot how to do everything, and I was really bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to have fallen that trap because I want to beat Spider-Man because I love Spider-Man. I feel like I might put Red Dead on a pause, return to Spider-Man, finish it, and then go back to Red Dead. Because I feel like Red Dead, like, I won't have as much issue getting back into.
Brett.
Because the mechanics aren't as hard to learn.
What about God of War?
Well, that too. But, like, that's a whole other beast in itself.
Yes, it is.
Like, I have to start that from scratch.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I won't know anything about that. But at least Spider-Man's, like, recent enough that I know what's happening.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Because the mechanics for Red Dead are pretty general, I feel like.
Yeah.
And they tell you exactly.
The menus is pretty simple. And yeah.
They tell you what you need to do and how to do it constantly. So
yeah.
I don't think it'd be that bad. I think that'd be a smart idea because you should experience that story. Yeah. I think you'll really like it.
So I want to finish it. And then the DLC's out now and everybody's like saying the DLC is fucking awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Like the DLC story stuff. They said the story is really good. Like the continuation of the story. And like there's some story beats in there that like, you pretty much have to experience, like, they're important parts of the storyline.
Interesting.
So I was like, all right, well, shit.
All right.
I gotta do that. So
do it, man.
It's gonna be a hard life, man. All right.
The storm is ridiculous. Oh, I also want to talk on that, like, right now. Like, I feel like the storm is pretty, it's been crazy, but I'm glad there are some games that really stand out amongst everyone. I even consider God of War part of the storm, because if you haven't got it now, you probably want to get it now. There's so much experiences here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it
still
has
like six titles coming out that are huge.
Just kind of funny to see like each game coming out and that hype build up. And then now we've kind of like hit the precipice in a way. Like, I don't think we're getting any higher than Red Dead right now. Yeah. And I feel like Fallout 76 is like on the downward slope, really. And
you still have Battlefield 5, but that hype train isn't very high anymore.
No, it's not. Like, Red Dead has really
overshadowed it.
Yeah, captured it. But it's cool to like to see all this hype and see wherever kind of everything lands.
Yeah,
so far, what is Assassin's Creed Odyssey? I don't know.
So apparently, that is for some people their game of the year.
Wow,
people are loving that game.
Wow.
Some people have said that it's better than Red Dead.
I teach their own, I guess.
Yeah, like I've been amazed at how well people have respected that game.
I'll tell you this right now: I don't want to pick that game up right now. I probably won't pick it up till the end of the year, or probably sometime next year.
Yeah.
I just won't. It's just crazy. Not. The story is nothing.
Yeah.
And the story there, it's well, I don't know. How, I won't compare it to anything yet in the franchise, but.
Yeah.
All right. But that's cool. What you think.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for the games that we played this week. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, head over to theinnergamer.net and click that donate button to contribute. We are going to take a quick break and come back with our video game news.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. Yes, you know I'm excited.
Are you?
I'm excited.
What happened? What? Why are you excited about stuff?
I just got to be excited about stuff, because if I'm not excited, then like people won't be enjoyed.
But now you're just faking it, man.
No, I am not faking it. I am stoked, bro.
Okay.
I am stoked about this next story.
Are you?
About Unity.
Cool.
Tech demo that came out.
Man.
Like, have you ever been so excited about tech and like demos and shit? Like, yeah, this is good.
Tech and demos, man.
Yeah.
Put them together. What do you get?
Yeah. So on PC Gamer, there is a story about Unity tech demo showing the potential future of open world games. And in this demo, it's a very short glimpse at what could be possible with open world games in the very near future. And they dubbed it the Entity Component System. And they describe it as, quote, a way of writing code that focuses on the actual problems you are solving, the data and behavior that make up your game. So the data-oriented system lets developers iterate on their designs more efficiently than using the current object-oriented system. So they showed off the results of this in a tech demo, which is a huge cyberpunk city with a flying car. And then as you're going through skyscrapers and these massive buildings, you can see independently moving objects. This is all created with two people. And this whole entire world, like all these massive objects, independently moving pieces, lighting, all this stuff. Very, very incredibly detailed. And it's all done with Unity, which for Unity is crazy, because it used to be like just the, you know, entry level, you know, let's make a game really fast in Unity. And now like it's looking like an Unreal kind of game. But man, it's like, it's very, very pretty. And I'm like thinking about what are they going to be able to do in the future with these games? So we've already seen with Red Dead and stuff like that, how much detail they can put into, like, you know, these engines. But like, I mean, like, what is next? So I feel like we're at a point where we're already seeing realism. But with things like this, like, you can have, like, where you go into buildings and, like, I mean, the transition that we made from having, like, all these buildings empty to now, like, in Red Dead, for example, you can, like, walk into basically every building that exists and just, like, step into it and not have to do a loading screen. But, like, with this thing, like, you have this little flying car going around. You have, like, this massive skyscraper. It's like, what if you could just drive your skyscraper around and find a little entry point to go into, and then you enter in on every single floor? There are people living and breathing in these spaces, living about their lives, doing stuff. Like, that's awesome. It's awesome.
It's a lot to think about, honestly. I mean, it's making, like, real life.
It is,
you know. Yeah. But, like, and Red Dead's kind of done that already.
It's like hyper real life.
Not really hyper. What do you mean by that?
Like beyond real life. Like, even cooler than real life. Because real life is cool, but, like, well, there's a whole other level.
But when I say real life, I mean general. Like, it feels like these people have, like, it's real life. Like, people have their own desires and motivations and, like, their daily routines. Like, you see in Red Dead right now, right? Like, everyone has a daily routine. Obviously, I mean, to some degree, they have their own wants and desires, I guess.
Which I haven't quite realized. Like, you know, they use that as, like, a selling point of Red Dead, but, like, it doesn't really... I mean, I feel like it probably makes it more immersive feeling, but I don't really see the fruits of that labor when I'm playing it.
Right, right.
But I guess it does happen, but it doesn't feel like that's happening.
Well, I think for me, usually I don't like them telling me stuff like that, but I think for this, it kind of lends to the immersion, because at least I know, at least I feel like, I think, at least I hope I know, or I get that they do that. So, like,
horse doo-doos.
Yes, it does. Like, I feel like if I could follow a person, like, I'll find out their daily routine. You know what I mean?
Right. That's so true. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I think it's kind of cool. Doing.
Yeah.
But for this, it'd be different. Like, you say you're having a battle and you break into someone's apartment. They're like, oh my goodness. Like, oh, what's going on? You know, maybe one of their family members get killed and they're like, you know, freak out and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or like spy on somebody, you know, stuff like that. That'd be kind of, that's like too much. But for this, I feel like, taken from Red Dead, how vast you can look and how amazing it looks on a freaking console. Like, you see for miles and see all sorts of detail. Like, pulling that into here, I wonder how, like, obviously there's going to be some limitations.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I don't know how they have that optimized for Red Dead, but this here, like, certain things is just going to be like the outer shell of stuff. So I wonder, like, from the back end. So this is stuff that I always think about, like, looking at, like, rendering things since I play on, like, you know, PC and stuff. I wonder how stuff, like, forms into the world as you get closer to it, you know? Obviously, it can't all be there, rendered, ready to go.
I don't know.
On the fly. Maybe, well, it can.
It was interesting listening to a podcast with the interview with the people, the Media Molecule, working on Dreams. And they were talking about how they built their characters and, like, what you can and can't do in the game, right? And one of the things that they didn't put into the game is boning, which is the ability to have, like, a character that has joints and stuff. So basically, like, every piece of a body part, like, right here, you would have a circle, and that would be like a bone where you could animate individually that wrist movement, or you can animate this joint movement here, or you can animate, like, your arm movement. So you could animate all these things to have them do very realistic movements and stuff like that. So they stripped that idea out of the game because they felt like it would be way too much for the player to have to deal with, and they didn't want to, like, overly do it. But every single thing in this world is full, like, built with a bunch of little tiny sprites. So, like, even the water, for example, like, they were talking about how amazing the water looks. Well, if you, like, hyper zoom into the water, you can see it's a bunch of little pieces of sprites that are just repeated over and over again to form the larger piece of this thing. So in a way, you can use the, like, those sprites allow for a much greater fluidity of motion than they would be if it was, like, one giant object that was one big huge piece. So now it's suddenly, like, basically a bunch of, like, layerings, kind of like blades of grass in the wind. Like, each one of those is a sprite or whatever in the, mm-hmm. in the thing. That's kind of how this is designed, but it's just repeated over and over again. They built an engine that can support the duplication of these things and, like, really make things more realistic. So although they don't have the boning abilities for the characters and stuff like that, they do have these sprite pieces that can allow you, like, so that's an option that you can use. You can use the sprite characteristics to, like, basically fat, like, create your own clothes on a character, even though they don't have actual clothes that can be created. You can, like, paint things on, and when you paint stuff on, you can make it look like as if it's a sprite that, like, sits on there. So it's this interesting, like, tech that they're using to basically, like, hack into, like, basically take an idea of, like, a thing and then find ways to optimize, like, present a, like, you, if you have a building that's got a bunch of shit inside of it, like, every individual object in there, like, all those objects have to be loaded independently, right? But, like, finding ways to efficiently create those things so that way you're not having to load it all at once. So, like, I think that's probably what, like, Red Dead does, is, like, as you're playing through the game, like, not the whole entire world's loaded, but as you're going through areas, like, you know, there might be in the background, like, the next area of where you're headed to is, like, loading in the background, like, simultaneously while you're playing through an experience or something like that.
Right.
But, like, building the tech for this stuff is just crazy.
Like, it fascinates me.
Yeah.
Because I guess growing up, we kind of understand to some degree how certain things work over time just by, like, being in that community. So, like, this stuff, like, making things look super real and having these worlds that you can see for miles that don't ever look bad.
Like, lighting. Like the fact that, like, them figuring out lighting and, like, the way that lighting is
mind-blowing.
Designed in a world, and the way that they've developed how reflections, like, bounce off of objects and stuff like that. That's, like, some crazy mathematical, like, genius right there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild. But anyway, so next story we have is going back to the olden days. We're talking about, like, big, heavy duty, crazy graphics. Now let's jump back to Sony with the PlayStation Classic that comes out on December 3rd of this year for $100. They've announced a full lineup for the PlayStation Classic. So I'm going to go through this list real quick and talk about these games and basically run through. Actually, I'm going to say the highlights. So there's 20 games on here. Some of them I've never played, but I want to mention a few. Yeah. Destruction Derby. I love Destruction games. That's great. We have Final Fantasy VII, which is awesome. And then we have Grand Theft Auto, the original. Metal Gear Solid, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Ridge Racer Type 4, Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, hell yeah.
Gotta have Twisted Metal.
Wild Arms. So that's just a couple of the things coming out for the list. I haven't played most of these other than, I mean, I've played, like, Destruction Derby, I played Tekken, I played Twisted Metal, I guess I played a lot of these, more than I thought. Any of these that you're, like, super hyped about? Or do you even, like, how do you feel about the PlayStation Classic?
I don't care for it. Like, yes. Yeah. Grew up on Twisted Metal. Grew up on Oddworld. Played a little bit of Rain Man. Definitely played some Resident Evil. I think I jumped into Siphon Filter. Definitely Tekken 3. Oh, my goodness. Definitely Tekken. Had Tekken. I played a lot of Tekken when I was a kid. But I don't know. I just don't have the desire to go jump into something like this. Again, I think this is for those people who grew up on this and have fallen off video games to some degree and have fond memories of this. You know, a lot of people I talk to who are like that, they're always like, oh, yeah, I love the freaking N64. I love, you know, the PlayStation or PlayStation 2. And have you played the, like, they get really into, like, that generation of gaming. And right now, like, I remember having good times with this stuff, but I don't remember having, like, it defined me, but it was more of an era and less of, like, a game or a set of games. You know what I mean? Like, Tomb Raider is the only one I can pull from this that I was like, that definitely was part of, like, a stamp on my memory. Right.
It's like we were saying last time with the Intellivision Amiga thing that they were talking about, like, it's a cool idea. It's an interesting concept. Apparently, I found out after we talked about it that the presentation they had was, like, garbage. Like, the presentation itself was, like, really, really bad. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But, like, that thing is such a niche, like, targeted market. And, right. Like, you were saying, like who's this for, in a way? And, you know, I mean, I bought the SNES, like, 4 months ago, and I haven't opened it yet. And I've just been like, I want to play it, but I'm like, well, I mean, like, yeah, it's cool to have, but I'm like, I mean, I'm going to jump into this. I'm going to play this for a few minutes and like, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to go back and play Spider-Man or whatever.
It's gone, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And
we've come so like, far in gaming.
Yeah. And like, I get the idea of showing it to people just experience, but like, it's an experience. Like, hey, you can try this thing out, but I'm not going to probably go back and replay it again. There's a market out there for that.
Right. Right.
But I feel like it's a much smaller market than they're wanting it to be.
Especially as the younger generation is getting bigger and bigger. Like, if you want, okay, if you got this for your kid who was like young, I can see you doing that. You know, it's kind of like showing your kids like some good like, music.
Let's start with this.
Or some like good films back in the day, right? That you grew up on. Yeah. I totally get it. I mean, I've heard plenty of discussions like, I want to get my kids in the video games, but I want them to go through my experiences in a way. So it's like, what are some games I should get for each system as they grow up? Though,
is you're going to be doing that. And then they're just been like, Dad, I hate you. I'm just going to play Fortnite.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah. It's like the big craze and everything. And like, I get that. And like, there's a market for it, but definitely it's not as big as, well, it doesn't feel like it's that big. Now, the original NES was, sorry, the, which one do you have?
The SNES.
Okay. Yeah. So that one is $60.
Yeah. It's cheaper too.
Yeah. And then the Super Nintendo was $80. So like,
that was what I bought. It was the 80.
Oh, you got that one. Okay. So then just the NES.
The SNES is what I have. The Super Nintendo.
Okay. The original was 60.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how many games each of these have on there.
15, 20. Right. Somewhere around there.
But it's funny. Like these consoles, I think I would play more of opposed to the PlayStation, even though technically that was my first console. Yeah, I did grow up on these.
They have a greater, Super Mario Brothers, yeah, like, it ages, but it doesn't age poorly as does freaking Final Fantasy VII original, does. Or, like, the original Twisted Metal or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah, because, like, Super Mario is, like, it's a side-scroller, it's a platformer, and, like, that very simple graphics. Today, there's still platformers that are very simple graphics. But a full 3D game from back then versus today is a vastly different type of experience.
Right.
So, yeah.
I just don't think it'll sell that well.
Yeah.
It's going to sell. And I want to compare it to the others.
It's not going
to
be a sellout like the NES was. Like, that was a fad Nintendo has moment, and that was about it. But this is going to be like,
they whatever. Captured the original. They brought the hype. And for some freaking Nintendo knows how to market and make things like crazy desirable.
Yeah.
Remember, like, everyone's like, you can't get this, it's sold out everywhere, and it's like, what? And I was even hyped. I was like, shit, I should probably get one. You know, and then guess what, I go to Target now and there's like five of them in the case, and they haven't moved for
it's like
months.
Furbies.
It's ridiculous, man.
Come and go.
Ridiculous.
So next story we have, a couple weeks ago we were talking about the Project X Cloud that Microsoft's working on, right? And this article here is from Destructoid, and they talk about images of prototype mobile Xbox One controllers coming out. So we have the xCloud, and you were really big on like wanting them to have a peripheral of some kind to make this sellable, right? And I was like, I mean, you have these things already with you, like that's what you got.
Yeah.
But it's clear that they've seen both sides of the situation.
That's good.
And they are now developing like basically kind of Joy-Con-ish types of controllers. We're testing them to be able to take this iPad and just like clink controllers onto the side of it that will let you then have touch controllers. Because they said that, you know, like the biggest fallback with this system is like it's touchscreen, and like touchscreen controls aren't very good. So if you can have physical buttons on it, and that's why the Joy-Con or the Switch has done so well, is because you have physical buttons attached to a touchscreen device, and it plays really, really well. So Microsoft is seeing that as a need, and they are working on prototyping these types of controllers. Now, granted, the controller that they have here with pictures of are images from several years ago, so they're not like very recent. Like they've been prototyping this for a while, apparently. But these images here are from 2014.
Okay, these
supposedly
look like
this idea. So it's not like the most recent necessarily, but this is kind of what they were working on. So if you go to Destructoid and look up prototype Xbox controllers, you can see what these images are like. We'll probably, if you're watching the video version, you'll probably see the images of it here. But they look kind of like a, They try to be an Xbox controller, but they look really weird.
So I've seen some controllers back in the day for like, I think it was the 4 and the iPhone 4 and iPhone 5.
Yeah.
I think they're dedicated to that. And these look very similar to them, not completely, but these look like a 2014 model. Like these do not look good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like this. This looks thinner. Like the top, the way that they have the Xbox controllers now are very much, a little wider in the middle. This seems to seem a little thinner in the middle. And I don't know. I think they should make different sizes if they go with something like this.
I like that they have the side, like the hand grips there.
Yes.
Because that's the one thing I don't like about the Switch is that long game timing is like you're sitting there and you're like scrunched up. Your hands are scrunched up on the controller.
Yeah.
This is kind of nice to have that like hand grip there.
Oh,
to,
yeah,
like,
no doubt.
Have more comfortable control, but it does look kind of nice. It looks like a mix between a PS4 controller and like the look of an Xbox controller, just the button style, but it looks more PS4, but like elongated, like a longer version of it. But
I guarantee you right now, having this on your iPad is going to suck.
Oh yeah.
It's just too heavy. Like I know the iPads now are pretty thin, pretty light comparative for
1.25 pounds.
Compared to the last ones, but I mean, you get a controller, it's not even a pound. It's probably not even half a pound.
Oh yeah,
you
controller is super light.
And you put a pound and a half on it, like it's going to get heavy over time. You know?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, you play a game like this for like an hour or two.
Well, I mean, the Switch is pretty heavy.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I wonder how much it is actually.
We'll find out. I think
their minds in the right place.
This definitely is. I mean, it depends on the position of your hand too.
Like, you put a kickstand on it, you're good. You know? Yeah. But at that point, it's like, why not just have it?
If you're holding like this and like, you know, you have a grip on it, like it's not that bad after a couple hours. Like I would be okay with it as long as I have a good grip to hold on to. Like holding this tablet, so being so thin and like trying to hold on to it and my hand positions, it's awkward.
Yeah,
but I think it would be not so bad if I had the actual like grips to grip onto and like kind of like more comfort around my hand reaching around the controller system itself, because you can't grip this the way you'd like to. Like it's not a grippable device.
Exactly.
So
I mean, their head's in the right place. Hopefully they have something a little better at this point. But
what was I looking up?
How much the Switch weighs. Weight.
Keep talking. Let's make stuff up.
Wait, I am talking. I'm singing. You don't like my singing, Brett?
Gosh, no, it's terrible.
I mean, yeah, I think their head's in the right place, and you're probably going to want this if they have the X-Cloud.
The Switch is 0.88 pounds.
So not even a pound.
It's not even a pound, so that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's very good.
Surprising, actually. Kind of expected to be a little bit heavier than that. But
I mean, you're going to want controllers, definitely, if you're going to play the X-Cloud thing anywhere, especially on mobile devices.
Yeah.
But I just prefer that they come out with its own like peripheral thing.
Well, hey, it's going to be perfect for Diablo Immortal we're going to talk about later. Boing.
What?
I don't know.
Why noises. Was the boing?
That's my transition to the next story.
Uh-huh.
So we are going to talk about now. So we just talked about the controllers for the Xbox. Now we're going to talk about the Switch itself, because it just surpassed 22 million units sold. So that is a good thing, because that has now, this is crazy, it doubled sales of the Wii U and is now overtaking GameCube's total sales figure.
Wow.
Which is pretty exciting.
Very nice.
So they managed to sell more than 5 million units in the last 6 months, with a slight increase in sales compared to last year. This is from IGN, where I'm reading this article. And during that time, Mario Tennis Aces sold more than 2 million copies. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze sold 1.5 million. That was actually a high selling game. I was surprised. Like, people were buying that thing up big time. Three Switch games have now sold more than 10 million units to date. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has sold 10.3 million. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Super Mario Odyssey have more than 11 million and 12 million sales, respectively. And then in total, 42 million copies of Switch software have been sold, meaning the average Switch owner has approximately 2 games. Unless you're you and I have like 30 games. I don't know what you have.
I have like 20, 25.
Yeah, I have so many.
I have some I had like download yet.
Yeah, if I had bought all my like wish list stuff, I would have a lot more.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It feels good to collect stuff on that. I don't know why.
It does. Yeah.
It's like,
they need folders though.
Yes, please.
Nintendo, put folders on that freaking console.
Thank you.
I want a co-op folder, I want a single player folder, and then I want a multiplayer folder. That's it. That's all I need.
Bam.
It's three. Make it so much easier. Anyway, that's my
digress, there. Brett. Digress.
I digress. But that is going to go up even higher because then we still have this year Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu coming out. So
yes.
Hells yeah. But yeah, good on them. I think that's great to hear. Like, I mean, we've always known the Switch would be... changed everything. It's great.
Well, yeah.
Well, we always know since it came out. Like,
yeah,
how great it
came out. Yeah,
yeah, we knew it would be like amazing and everything. Because like the second we got our hands on, we're like, this is going to change the world. And it has.
So crazy.
Everybody is now responding to what they're doing. But I'm starting to have growing pains with my Switch a little bit. My kickstand will not stay locked into the freaking console. It keeps like, I just like pick it up. It just like flaps, just hangs. And then I stick it back in and just like flaps back down again.
Maybe
like,
you're not putting it in right.
No. The adhesion or whatever, that the magnet or whatever that's in there that holds
it
in place.
It's a spring thing.
Well, no, that spring is fine. But it's the like whatever latches it to the bottom of it. Like whenever you push it up there, like whatever connects it.
It's just a little like lip.
I know. Lip. And it keeps falling off.
You can buy new ones. You can buy metal ones that are way sturdier.
I know. That's bullshit though.
I know.
Pissing me off.
I don't know. Anything, if I have to buy a peripheral for my Switch, I'm pretty happy because I just want to check it out.
So I want the next console to have a better kickstand. I want it to not be as flimsy on the sides.
Yes.
I want it to have edge-to-edge screen. And then I want it to have a better speaker.
Oh, edge-to-edge screen would be so cool.
Yeah. And I want it to have a better place. I want to have Bluetooth so I can use my AirPods. Peripherals.
That's going to suck. Cause I just bought a peripheral on Kickstarter. I'm really excited for it to come in and it has a Bluetooth.
You'll get it like after they put Bluetooth in the console.
And they have a speaker that plugs into the phone jack that you can use as a mic.
Oh, that's cool.
Their own technology they created. I was like, dude, that is, well, it's probably not their own, but
yeah,
it's super sweet.
Well, not bad. Not bad at all.
Tony.
Next up. So this is, we love EA here at, The Inner Gamer. Especially Austin. Austin loves EA. He's like the biggest proponent of EA games. Like this guy like sleeps and dreams about EA all the time. It's hilarious. But EA has come out. This is from PC Gamer. EA has revealed that Project Atlas is a new project they're working on. It's a game platform built on AI and cloud computing. They have more than 1,000 people working on this project because they don't want to, you know, make good games. So they instead are putting 1,000 people on this game platform. And I don't know what it is, but it sounds interesting. But the chief technology officer for EA, Ken Moss, has said some things about Project Atlas. And it is a integrated engine plus services game development platform. And it's a vision for their cloud native gaming future. I see the writing on the wall of this being very similar to Project xCloud. So it's interesting that EA is trying to develop this because like EA needs to get their library together first.
Yeah.
They're working on all these services, but they don't have any games to put on that service. So it's like, the fuck?
Hey, but, man, they got millions of dollars. They do what they want to do, yeah. I guess.
But their plan is to take the advancements that they made with AI, cloud, distributed computing, social features, engines, etc., and bring them all together and conceptualize what a system would look like where they are together and just, you know, allow for game creators to have a brand new kind of some kind of experience. So the idea is to combine game engines and online services in ways that haven't been previously done by leveraging the cloud-based computing. Players will install a thin client and then log into games that are running remotely on EA servers. On its own, that sounds quite a bit like existing cloud-based gaming, but EA is using new tech to have deeper personalization and to eventually create a world full of user-generated content, blurring the lines between the discrete domains of game engines and game services. I don't know what exactly that means, but there is that. AI is a big part of this plan, they say. They want to use it for everything from distributing the resources in shooters to making NPC counters that are virtually indecipherable from human interaction. Now, there's definitely that ability because, like, you know, again, going back to Red Dead Redemption, every character has its own kind of like lifestyle and stuff like that. But if you can like put in like an AI mind into it, they aren't necessarily following a programmable pattern. They're doing their own thing. But hopefully that own thing that they're doing is actually like realistic enough to make you believe.
Within limitations, probably.
Yeah, within limitations. Yeah, like give them a thing to do and then like make it Westworld, and then they come out and take over everything, and they want to kill us all. So there's that.
That would suck. So, imagine like riding away from like all the NPCs in the world, and they're just all shooting at you like, oh my God.
So for example, one of the things they want to mention is obviously their one of their bigger properties is Madden. You've just thrown your second interception of the game against the same cover two defense that caused the first turnover. Instead of the commentator simply start stating that you threw a pick, the AI knows contextually in real time to reference the fact that you're throwing to the sideline against a cover two defense and should have thrown against the weak zone. So basically, you're going to have a more immersive experience that is based on the exact things that you've just done that's stated by the AI, which is, I don't know how they're going to do this because you're going to have to kind of try to make like Alexa sound more natural language and stuff.
Well, they've
like
already come up with stuff like that, like where they copy people's voices already, and like it's just AI.
You know? But it's just like it still doesn't sound real.
No, some of it has sound real. I can't.
I mean, like Google's assistant.
I'm not talking about Google.
Pretty good.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other stuff.
Yeah,
like nothing that people use on a daily basis right now. Like they created things, but it's not like publicly available.
Yeah.
I guess they are, for more intense purposes, prototypes, but they do sound pretty damn good. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'd have to find it. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah. So the other thing they're working on doing is using AI to help build out assets and stuff. So they're going to put a set of parameters in place. And instead of, like, a bunch of designers, like, creating all of these assets that will be placed into a world, they're going to say different types of parameters laid out and then just let the machine kind of do the work. So that's an interesting idea. It's just, it sucks because it's going to make more people not have jobs, but it's also going to probably hopefully give them more advanced types of jobs or different types of jobs that will have them manage. Like the assets are going to be created, but there's going to be flaws with stuff.
Oh yeah.
So they might have it where they go into like polish and like clean off the rough edges and stuff like that, at least for now.
Yeah.
So basically 1,000 people are working on this, and it's crazy that they're putting that much emphasis into this system. This is a whole company and a company, basically. 1,000 people is a lot of people to be working on this kind of technology. But I don't know what consumer facing solution they're going to do with this, but that is what EA is currently working on. So we have a lot of big, huge kind of next generation types of experiences are in development right now.
Right.
And it's now it's just a matter of waiting and finding out when they're going to release. So yeah.
Cool, I guess.
Cool, I guess. Heard it here first, folks. Cool, I guess. There we go. So this is really interesting. So we talked about a bunch of like crazy technology stuff. This is a very simple but cool kind of thing. So Undertale game came out a couple years ago. Very cool game made by Toby Fox, one guy. He made Undertale. And a couple days, last week actually, he put on his Twitter accounts a series of cryptic tweets. And I'm reading this off of Polygon, writing about this article here. And he said in 24 hours, there was something new coming. And then literally in 24 hours, it was right. The countdown ended with the launch of Deltarune, a new game that he released and just dropped magically. It's a free game,
okay.
Mac OS X and Windows PC. And not really sure what it is other than the fact that it ties in with Undertale a little bit. The Deltarune is a symbol commonly seen in Undertale, most notably on the chest of Toriel, one of its most important characters. And Deltarune is also an anagram of Undertale, but the website bears several warnings in lieu of actual gameplay details. One, there may be moving or flashing imagery. Two, you may have to override security protocols to use this program. And then for public safety, you're advised to refrain from discussion of the program for 24 hours. And then last but not least, you accept everything that will happen from now on. So that is that. So you are joining into a survey program, and he said that the application itself appears as the beginning, and he said it's not complete. It's far from complete, but basically what it sounds like he's doing is he's putting out a game concept and letting people play with it and getting feedback, and I think this is going to be like kind of a free, growing game experience. It'll be updated over time, and then he's going to use the feedback to help build out the rest of the game.
Nice.
And that was dropped for free last week. So pretty interesting and cool that he like kind of put a little bit of a, you know, ARG thing attached to it.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So yeah.
ARG is always fun. Always fun.
I know. There you have it.
So,
all right.
Brett, what is this? What is this?
What's going on here? We're skipping this next article.
Okay,
and
cool.
We're going to go straight into There was a Direct last week, y'all. Nintendo Direct. Super Smash. Ooh. We love Directs here at The Inner Gamer. And
so good.
We now know what all 74 Smash characters are. They're all here.
Gosh, there's so many.
There's so many freaking characters.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure there's going to be DLC later on, but thank you for putting so much content into this.
Yeah, game, it's like, what Nintendo. Do you do? Well, I mean, like, you call it the Ultimate. It's got to be the Ultimate. And this is definitely the Ultimate.
I mean, this is a new standard for Ultimate, I'll tell you that.
So, yeah, the DLC plans do include 5 new characters, stages, and music tracks. So, IGN has an article that explains basically all the stuff that came out of the Direct. So, in it, they talk about the fact that we now know what all 74 characters are. They just announced Ken from Street Fighter recently. And as for DLC, Sakurai confirmed that there will be 5 sets of DLC, all with a character, a stage, and a music track. And each is going to be $5.99. So there'll be 5 drops, 1 character, 1 stage, 1 music track. In addition, there will be a Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Fighter's Pass that'll be DLC for $24.99 and give you everything for all the content that's going to be released by February of 2020. So between now and then is what we're going to be getting. For those that purchase Ultimate before January 31st of 2019, a Piranha Plant will be added to the roster as a bonus full character for free. And then for his final Smash, Piranha Plant will turn into a petty piranha who first appeared in GameCube's Super Mario Sunshine. And then they also revealed at the Direct the campaign World of Light, which you watched a trailer for this. Very,
I did.
Very Japanese looking trailer. Yeah, what do you think of the story kind of setup that they have here?
Well, I was trying to figure it out since it doesn't give too much. It just kind of shows that it's very like Mario Party-esque where you have like the game board and you walk around. Yeah. I guess more of like a Mario game where like you walk around and you hit certain points, you have to fight people. And,
right.
And everyone's a clone. Everyone has an evil clone. And for some reason, Ganondorf has an evil clone and he's already evil. Or is he not even part of the roster? I don't see him in here right now. I thought he was part of this roster. I guess not. Oh, yeah, there he is. Yeah. So, like, I wonder what they're going to do with for the evil characters that are already evil. Like, yeah, right. They make a clone of them, make them eviler. I think it's going to be kind of cool. I'm hoping they have it where it's, like, you play as one character, and then, like, you unlock someone else. And as you unlock characters, like, you get to go in their world and play against those people. And obviously, there's a lot of characters in here that are from the same world, so it'd be cool. Because, like, they had a Pokemon world.
Yeah.
And I think they had a... Dragon? What's the game that came out? Not Dragon. Is Dragon Age? No, not Dragon Age.
Monster Hunter?
Dragon Age, yes. Monster Hunter. Oh, my goodness. I'm tired. They had, like, Monster Hunter Dragon. So, like, it was like, do they have a Monster Hunter world? Like, that'd be awesome. Like, you go into all these different universes.
Yeah, so they do say that your missions will be to fight characters to potentially unlock them and take place in boss battles with such enemies as Monster Hunter's Rathalos.
That's so awesome.
That's pretty interesting.
I want to fight the Rathalos.
Yes, I do too. I've already fought him once and he was really hard.
Oh, he's a demon.
I
want
to fight him in this too. But yeah, I love that there's like a story campaign to it. Like right. It looks, I love like the world that you're looking down at as you're migrating through the different like worlds within the Super Smash Brothers thing is like an illustrated like drawing of a map. And I like that look that they've established there. And looks like there's parts where like you unlock new things or as you progress further, like you can build out new pathways you can transfer through. So it's very...
very Nintendo.
Reminds me of the Overcooked kind of like, you know...
Map. That's a good example.
That you travel through. So right. Like it has that look to it to get into. Or even... what's that? Cuphead. Cuphead's got that when you're about to jump into boss battle. So
very nice.
It's actually very much a Cuphead kind of sounding thing where like... You're looking down at this map and you like pick where you want to go to next and then you jump into a boss battle and like fight people.
Well, that's the same with Mario.
Oh, yeah.
You go from level to level though. It's not really boss battle.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, man. Freaking Smash.
Ready. It needs to be here like now.
What a great end to the year.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was a great move on their part to drop this like in December when there's nothing.
Yes.
Like, now we have literally every single month this year. Has been like something
big,
and I hate it.
Yes,
in the best possible way. And like the controllers are out now, I believe the GameCube controllers. So I'm definitely gonna be picking up 4 GameCube controllers for us to play.
Very nice.
We gotta have
good.
That
I need to get one.
No, you gotta get one still. You gotta have your own 4, man. So like, I don't have to bring mine to your house, and you don't have to bring yours to my house. We'll just have four controllers everywhere. I think that there should be a Donald Trump, if you're listening right now, I think you should put out an executive order that requires every household to have a Nintendo Switch dock in their house. I think that should be a law that is passed.
That's interesting.
Because that way, I just have to have a Switch in my backpack, and no matter what house I'm at, it's like, hey, y'all, you want to play some Jackbox? Switch, do it.
Such a dictator, Brett. Such a dictator.
I think it'd be a great idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
But I think everybody would love that idea. Yeah. Because if anybody's got a Switch, I mean, surely at this point, with 22 million out there, I mean, most play people you hang out
America
with, there's going to be one.
Or across the world?
Just America for now.
Okay.
And then every hotel.
Well, no, no, no.
Across the
is
world.
Is that 22 million across the world or 22 million?
Oh, it's worldwide. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's already a rule in China and Japan and all that.
Yes. Yes. That is true.
Fall behind, dang it.
I know. But anyway, so there we go. Hype is real for Super Smash Brothers. Super excited about that. Now for our topic of discussion today, we are going to be talking about BlizzCon, because BlizzCon is going on right now as we record this podcast.
And we're missing it. Why? Because we want to be here to tell y'all everything.
I know.
That's a lie. What the hell?
We're crazy.
We just didn't go.
We just didn't go. I mean,
it's
we
third
don't
year.
We have to get invited or no?
No, you can buy tickets, but they go out like super fast. If you're not watching, it's going to be over.
See, that's the thing. It's like I'm just not paying attention. But we got some analysis to talk about, some good, some not so good, but
surprising.
We'll
don't worry.
Get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. First of all, I think this is the biggest piece of news that I want to talk about because I like this a lot. Overwatch has a new animated short, and it features McCree, badass motherfucker, and he is sitting there, and he's just having some food. He's like, oh, shit. Shit's going down. Goes outside. Introduce new character. Her name is Ashe. She's the leader of the Deadlock gang. And Ashe is very, very cool looking. She's got white hair, good looking hair, freaking badass shotgun, like a badass. Facing
well,
off
and she has
McCree.
A badass pump action rifle. Is it pump action rifle?
No, it's a shotgun.
No, she has a rifle.
No, that's a shotgun.
I'm looking at Brett right now.
Oh, no, you're right. Semi-automatic metal rifle. Everybody last night was saying it was a shotgun. So
she has
like,
a shotgun.
Oh, anyway. So she's a leader of the Deadlock King. And they pull off Heist. And she's a damage-dealing hero who has semi-automatic rifles that fires from the hip or for precision with a proper position with aim-down sights. She also has a coach gun that pushes enemies away from her and propels her backwards. And then she's got dynamite, which can explode when she shoots at it. In addition, when she wants to do her ultimate, she calls in her buddy Bob, B-O-B, an acronym for an adorable mustache robot sidekick. He was her family's butler, apparently. And when he arrives, he charges towards enemies and pops them into the sky while firing at them with arm cannons.
That's pretty cool. I thought he was a third character or a second character being announced. I was like, oh, that's
I know,
cool.
I thought
Bob
so
looks
too.
Awesome.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because there's a lot of people that are like kind of upset because they were like, why can't Bob be the character? Like, they kind of want Bob over her. But I think she looks really badass.
That's
funny. And I like
the
combination of the two together. Like,
yeah.
It seems kind of interesting. So I'm
well, this is the first time we see this kind of ultimate. Usually it's just you have some kind of power or attack that's doing this. But no, you call in a friend.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how this works out. Like,
yeah,
in the game. So
right. So yeah, they have that, but also in the animated short that they showed, it was kind of cool because they seem to have revealed another character, but they didn't say who that character was. But obviously there's a lot of rumors out there on the internet to talk about like, what is this character? Who's this person? But she had a very interesting look to her. She was very, how would you describe it?
What
she looks like a robot, but she is a robot. But like
Yeah,
she's like a very modern,
so
like
she,
streamlined look in some capacity.
She was teased a while ago, like either before Sombra, before like we knew like there could be a Sombra, or after Sombra, and someone thought that this character might come in at some point in time or be like be Anna or was going to be Anna, not like actual the character Anna, but like in her place.
Oh, okay.
And so, and they thought she could be a healer, and they did this whole like thing where they were talking about how it'd be really cool in comparison to like Sombra or something like that. Not exactly sure the whole timeline, but she's technically revealed, and I'm pretty sure she's going to be in the game at some point.
Oh my gosh. Ash can like shoot at the ground and like launch herself up in the air with her shotgun.
Yep.
And then start firing people with the sightseeing down.
Yep.
And then throw her freaking grenade out there. And then she pulls out Bob and he just starts wreaking havoc on people. That's a really interesting ultimate. Like, you don't control it, it seems like. So I'm curious how that's going to work. Cause like most of the ultimates, like, you have to at least hit them, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, in some capacity, like, you got to position yourself properly. So I'm curious how Bob's going to change that meta of that experience and overall, you know, how it's going to balance everything out. So
right. And she has a bomb, or she can throw dynamite.
Right.
And as far as I know, she's able to, or it catches people on fire. Not only does it bounce them back, but it catches them on fire.
Oh, really?
Now, I could be wrong, but that's what it looked like from the trailer.
She can blow it up too.
Yeah. And I was like, that is sweet. So maybe she shoots it, she can catch people on fire. Otherwise it just bounces them back.
I think I can pull this up here. So she's a damaged character. She's 2 out of 3 stars. She's got abilities. The Viper, her semi-automatic rifle fires quick shots, or she can aim down her sights for a more damaging, precise shot. She has dynamite, which she throws an explosive that detonates after a short delay or immediately when shot. The explosion from dynamite also lights enemies on fire, dealing damage over time. You are correct. And then she has the coach gun, where Ash blasts enemies in front of her, knocking them away and propelling herself backward for added mobility. And then Bob, she summons her trusted Omnic sidekick, Bob, who charges forward and knocks enemies in the air, then lays down suppressing fire with his arm cannons. Holy shit. That's badass.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So she is a very cool character. Her name is actually Elizabeth Caledonia Ash. She's a thief gang leader. Base of operations is Deadlock Gorge, Arizona. And then her quote is, "My business, my rules. My rules." Aw, shit. So there you have it.
It's a good anti-character it's a good antagonist to McCree.
Yeah.
And I would like them to do like some kind of short series on them. They should start doing like little series they release once a week. Like, that could be something really awesome.
Yeah. Or even like, you know, just, yeah, like every, like, have a season of shows that they come out with that's like, here's like this next quarter or whatever is going to be a 5-series mini series on a character, and just like go through their backstory more in depth than what they've done so far.
Right.
I think that'd be really cool. So I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Next up, we have an article regarding World of Warcraft Classic is coming out in summer of 2019. I personally don't get why they're doing this. But
there's a lot of people who have fallen off of World of Warcraft ever since they've made it easier to play. Like, just when I used to play it, I played the Classic.
Okay.
And once you get to level 30, like, for me and Travis, like, once you got to level 30, 29 to 30 was a grind. But, like, getting past 30 was a major grind. And like, we always would stop and like go start new characters, because like, okay, that process of 30 was always pretty straightforward, and the progression was pretty quick to some degree. You could say it was pretty quick comparative to everything else. So now what they've done is made it easy to get to level 60, and they've reworked a lot of how the mechanics are and the leveling and the stuff you get when you level. And so it's easier for a more casual audience to jump into World of Warcraft now and feel like they're accomplishing something. It's not so much of, you have to spend, you know, a month doing a bunch of quests, going into dungeons in order to level up, you know. That's probably an over-exaggeration of what it was, but that's what it felt like, you know.
Yeah,
you'd
yeah.
spend a crap ton of time on one level, and there would be times where you'd have to just grind away, you know, and that's annoying. But there's people who love that, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely love that game, that gameplay.
Well, it says here, and this is, I didn't realize that this was the case, but they said it's a reinterpretation of the vanilla version of the legendary game. The goal is to roll back the clock on the game's lore and allow players to experience the beginning of the franchise all over again. However, they will benefit from all the back-end improvements and changes made to the game over the years. So there's going to be some stuff. So I'm curious if that affects the leveling too, or if it is going to go back to that original leveling capacity.
I'd have to go and check now.
What I don't understand, though, is like I thought in World of Warcraft, it's a massive multiplayer online role-playing game. When you start World of Warcraft, you start in what would have been the classic version. Or
a lot of things have changed now
because of all the DLC and all the add-ons and stuff like that.
They've also had Cataclysm, which was completely world-changing, literally. Like, it changed the whole world. So everything that you've played up to that point is different now. So it kind of just kind of switches everything up a little bit. And it's like, that's kind of cool, you know?
Kind of like Fortnite map changes, but on a grander scale.
Yeah, much grander.
Yeah.
So things are completely different. Like, I'm just going in. When I was playing, I was like, damn, all this is different now. I haven't even come to this area before, and like, it's not anything I remember.
Can you believe that was 14 years ago that came out?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm still playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's coming out summer of 2019. If you are a subscriber to WoW, you get it for free. And then people that had virtual tickets to BlizzCon can play the demo right now, which allows you to play for a total of 60 minutes. And then there's a cooldown time. We have to wait 30 minutes before coming back in to play it. So you can't play everything, but that's what it is.
That's weird.
It's weird. Until it comes out next year. All right. Next thing we have is Warcraft 3 is getting remastered. It's called Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Yes.
And I am glad to play this.
Yes.
Because I never played Warcraft 3 or 2 or 1. Yeah. I did a little bit. I played Warcraft 1, but I never owned it. I never got into that. I was a StarCraft guy.
Okay.
You know me. I'm not like into that.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
And junk like that.
Weird person.
We need a world of StarCraft that needs to exist, and I'll play that.
Yes.
But they are bringing out Warcraft 3 Reign of Chaos and all that stuff. But basically, Warcraft 3 Reforged is a whole recreation of everything, and it's going to have improved graphics, fully remodeled characters, animations, remastered maps and campaigns, and upgrade UI, world editor, and 4K support. And then they'll have special editions that allow you to get even more content for it. But this game came out in 2002. And was hugely successful. And then World of Warcraft came out a little bit later and took that into a whole nother realm.
I put a lot of time in StarCraft, like the original StarCraft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me
but
too.
But I put way more time into Warcraft 3. And I played a lot of stuff online as well with StarCraft, but I did play more online with Warcraft because... I don't know. I think they just had more games, like more of those user-made games.
Use map setting stuff, yeah.
That like appealed more to me. And it just seemed like there was more of a, I don't want to say casual crowd, but it was easier for me and Travis to jump into that and like get a hang of the game. And plus without fantasy, so it was
Do you think we can talk Travis into getting this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would really like to get into this. Because I bought StarCraft Remaster, and I want to still go back into that a little bit.
Right.
But I never played it, which is really bad.
Yeah.
But I bought it. But like this, this is the kind of game I'd like to revisit.
Oh, yeah.
Not like
I guarantee you we'll play this game.
You know, not like, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1 or whatever, but like this right here seems pretty cool.
Yes. No doubt, man.
That was a good announcement. But there's one more announcement we got to talk about.
Before we jump into this.
Yeah, go for it.
Can we talk about the successes that Blizzard has seen over the years?
Sure.
Like every title has been a hit. Every title has been, you know, almost forming a generation, you know, like it is
right.
It's through PC and stuff, you know, StarCraft, Warcraft, World of Warcraft, definitely. Diablo, with Diablo 2 being very successful. Like every game they've come out with has been super tailor made for a core audience. They've captured them, you know, early on, and have just grown and gathered a fan base over time. Like, as far as I know, Blizzard has never really failed in my eyes. Like, Hearthstone, not my thing. I played a few times. I get the appeal.
Successful.
Like, and for me, that just kind of feels like a money grab, honestly. But they do it in such a way that it feels natural. It feels right. It feels like they aren't trying to pick your pocket.
Right.
You know, they're giving you an experience that is like, yes, like I do like this, you know?
Yeah.
And I am willing to put some money down on it. And that's been my experience mostly through every Blizzard game. Like they have offered something for everybody.
Yeah.
And they do have a core fan base that follows them and, you know, basically gives them all of their money because they enjoy the stuff that they bring out.
Yeah.
And now we've arrived at BlizzCon 2018. So,
here we have Diablo Immortal. Now, I will say I did confirm that this is not being developed by Blizzard. This is being developed by a Chinese developer named NetEase Games, with Blizzard adding input to this. But the next game in the Diablo franchise is a prequel to Diablo 3. Diablo Immortal is a mobile game exclusive. That means that it will not come out on PC. It will not release on console systems. It is exclusively for iOS and Android only. This is going to take place 20 years before the events of the game, and it's a full-blown action RPG set in the Diablo universe, canon to the stories of Diablo and its universe. And it's putting emphasis heavily on mobile devices. So you can play as 6 classes: Wizard, Necromancer, Witch Hunter, Barbarian, Crusader, and Monk. No price point is revealed, no monetization plans, etc. No release date, but they brought this out, and Austin showed me a video of reactions at BlizzCon, and to say the least, it was very not well received. Yeah.
When I think of BlizzCon, I mean, there are hundreds of videos of people just screaming their heads off. I remember when I watched the Sombra release. Oh my goodness. Like, even I had chills. I was like, this is so cool. Like, I can only imagine being there. I mean, it's almost a religious thing being at a BlizzCon, like them releasing the stuff, being there with fans who, like, you all love the same thing. And it's like, it's just got to be religious to some degree. Like, this just, and then watching like all these trailers come out and stuff, like, they've never had a fail. Like, not that I can think of.
Yeah.
And I never thought they could fail. They have such a good sense of, like, what do our fans want, and giving it to them and more. And then this is the final release.
And clearly they missed the mark
in BlizzCon.
Yeah.
This was the big reveal. And apparently people, since they didn't say anything to anyone about what was going to be released, people were assuming it was just going to be Diablo 4.
Yeah.
And this is one of those narratives that you want to kind of tackle early on.
Yeah.
Because everyone's expecting one thing and then you don't give it to them. And they've always been ahead of the game. They've always known what to release. And now it's just like, wow.
Well, we've talked about in the past on this podcast, I want to say this year, actually, even, that there were some job openings, I believe, out there about multiple Diablo titles in development. So this isn't the only thing that they're working on, but the fact that this is the only thing that they announced at the event, they just released Diablo 3 on Switch, which was cool. You got the full collection of that. So you can play that game. And I know that they're working on Diablo 4. We've confirmed that as well. But the fact that they didn't even like put anything out there about it and instead released Diablo Immortal, which if you look at Blizzard as a whole, especially the Diablo franchise, that is a PC first franchise.
Yes.
And actually, Blizzard is a PC first franchise. Like, every game that they release has been PC first in mind. Warcraft, Starcraft, World of Warcraft, freaking like Overwatch even, like, was the biggest on PC.
Yeah.
Like that, like it's amazing. Like, every game that they are a PC developer, and the fact that they brought this out exclusively, never to be released on anything but mobile, was kind of a slap in the face. Even Hearthstone was first released on PC.
Yeah.
So, like,
people,
kind of a slap in the face a little bit.
Yeah. On the video we watched, one guy was like, is this just a late April Fool's joke? And the guy was like, no. And another guy was like, is this going to be on PC at all at any point in time? They're like, we have no plans for that.
Yeah, we were like, it's iOS and Android.
So, like, people, like, yeah, everyone there is like, what?
And people were like, booing and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, I don't blame them, because, like, it's a bummer. Like, you're waiting for Diablo, and, like, this is the year we wanted it to happen. I mean, this is going to happen next year. They're going to announce something, but, like,
oh, it's going to be big next year.
I feel like it's a bad step. It's a step in the wrong direction for them. Because if you look at the videos of this game, it doesn't even look to the level of quality that it should for a Diablo game. Like, I feel like they would have been better suited taking Diablo 3 and building it for next gen, or not current gen, iOS and Android devices, because they could easily make it look that good on iOS and Android with Diablo 3, which looks really good. But this game, Diablo Immortal, doesn't really look that great. Like, it's got dated graphics, and I was kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I never thought this would happen. I never thought I could see Blizzard fail at anything, and they did. Like, if this was supplemental stuff,
yeah,
fine. I don't think people would be that upset if they showed something from Diablo 4. You know? Like, you'd be like, oh, now here's a tease of Diablo 4.
All you needed was the Metroid Prime teaser that they released a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Just like, title reveal.
Yeah.
That was it.
It's happening, right?
Yeah.
Just tell us it's happening. And I think people would be not as like...
It's software did with a Doom Eternal. Like, when they did it at E3, you know, they were just like, hell, craziness, and then Doom Eternal.
Right.
And like, that would have been sufficient to kind of ease off this frustration that people were having.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It went from like, yeah, cool. Like, there's something for everyone, and then there wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, with that, that's BlizzCon, everybody. So we have some really good things. I mean, I think my most exciting announcements here are the new character in Overwatch, as well as Warcraft 3. I think that's gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah.
Not gonna play Diablo Immortal. That's not gonna happen. But cool for the whoever buys or gets that, whatever.
It's probably gonna be probably free kids. With microtransactions.
Yeah, for easily. Sure. But that's going to wrap it up for our news this week. If there's something that you want to hear us talk about, or if you want to contribute to next week's segment, please email us at hello@theinnergamer.net. We'll also have some of the most important news stories that you heard today on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theinnergamer, this week, probably Thursday or Friday. If you like what you hear, please give us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our video game releases. And it's a new month, so that means free games coming at you. So check that out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have two games coming out on the exact same day, October the 13th. We have, on PS4 and Xbox One, Spyro Reignited Trilogy! The original Roastmaster is back. Same sick burn, same smoldering attitude, now all scaled up in stunning HD. But Spyro brings back the heat like never before with Spyro the Dragon, Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage, and Spyro Year of the Dragon. Explore expansive realms, re-encounter the fiery personalities, and relive the adventure in fully remastered glory. Because when there's a realm that needs saving, there's only one dragon to call. Spyro the Dragon.
You excited, Brett?
Yeah, I might get this.
I grew up on Spyro.
I love Spyro.
Yeah, me too.
Spyro was great. It was a lot of fun.
I don't love him enough to actually
It's not as cool because I wasn't as much a PlayStation guy back then. I was a Nintendo guy. So I was a Banjo-Kazooie guy and stuff like that. So I never got into much Ratchet and Clank or Spyro or any of those similar types of things.
Bro.
I know, right? But I liked them. Like, you know what I really liked? Jack. Jack and Daxter. Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Yeah, good stuff.
But Spyro, I think I might get just to play it and see the visuals and beauty of it.
Beauty.
But I said that about Crash, and I never got Crash Bandicoot.
Dude,
so
what the heck?
I know. In addition, on PS4, PC, and Xbox One, we have Hitman 2. Travel the globe and track your targets across exotic sandbox locations in Hitman 2. From sun-drenched streets to dark and dangerous rainforests, nowhere is safe from the world's most creative assassin, Agent 47, in the ultimate spy thriller story. This is not going to be episodic like the last game was, but it is still going to be open world, pick your way to destroy your enemy and all that jazz, and it sounds really, really cool. And if you like Hitman, this is a game for you coming out on the 13th.
You know, when it's coming out, episodic stuff and everything, and I played the first one, I was like, yeah, it's really fun. That first level. And then I was like, a few came out. There was a few levels out already. Anyway, I never got any of it. Then I got the DLC on Steam sale or something. And I was really looking forward to it because I listened to, what was that podcast we used to listen to? Now it doesn't exist anymore.
Idle Thumbs,
thank you. And they really got me pumped to play it some more, and then I'm not playing it.
Dude, that's crazy. I forgot about Idle Thumbs.
Right.
Shit, that was like history back in the day.
History. But I don't know. The idea of Hitman sounds cool, especially the newer version of it. But I don't know. It's just not my kind of game, which is really sad.
I know.
Plus, there's too many games out right now.
It looks really cool. But yeah, it's just like one of those games that I feel like this would be like a summer sale, like wait for like a sale when you got like a lowly area of time where you're not playing anything.
Right. You get something to play.
There you go.
Boom.
So if you are into Xbox One or PlayStation Plus, you have some free games coming out. And the lineup this time around is pretty freaking badass, if I can say so myself. For Xbox One, you're going to get two games for the Xbox One exclusively. Battlefield 1. Literally, Battlefield 1. The whole game is free. So that's pretty cool. And then you're also going to get a game called Race the Sun. This is a game where you put the player in control of a solar-powered spacecraft built for quick sessions with a goal of high scores. Each level is the player speeding toward the horizon as the sun sets. The objective is to stay in the light and rack up as many points as possible. So that's what you get for Xbox One. In addition, on Xbox 360, I think they're bringing out like one of the Assassin's Creed games, and then some other game is coming out. So like, if it's cross-compatible, like you can get some more games with that, but I'm focused on Xbox One specifically. PlayStation Plus, this is a great, great, great lineup. Bulletstorm, full clip edition. Bulletstorm was so good. You play as Grayson Hunt, who crash lands on an abandoned resort planet. You have two choices, survival or revenge. The game is over-the-top fun at its best. I played through this game, all of it. It was like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, it's not long. Yeah, but it's just a,
it's like freaking like Duke Nukem or crazy like,
yeah,
chaos.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I loved it so much.
So if you haven't played this game before, definitely pick it up. It's worth getting for free. In addition, they have Yakuza Kiwami. Get reintroduced to the Dragon of Dojima, Kazuma Kiryu. Become the up-and-coming Yakuza who takes the fall for the murder of a crime boss, only to emerge from prison 10 years later to a changed world. This game is visually enhanced for 4K and retains all the great action role-playing. So I didn't know what this Yakuza Kiwami was versus like the Yakuza Zeros and all that different stuff. Apparently, the Yakuza Kiwami is basically the remastered version of the original Yakuza game. So they have Yakuza Kiwami 2, Yakuza Kiwami, and all that stuff. If you're getting that, you are getting a remastered version of the original game that came out. So, yeah, like I've heard great things about Yakuza. Like it's basically a Japanese GTA, and apparently, like everybody says, like you should get it because it's badass and awesome, and it's like worth playing. And apparently, the original Yakuza is pretty solid. So. I'm going to pick this up just to play it.
Okay, cool.
And with that, that's going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from our favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and tell a friend. Also, November 9th, don't forget, we will be at New Main Brewing in Pantego, Texas, in between Dallas and Fort Worth with our Battle of the Bands rock band event. So please come out. We'd love to see you. We'll also have some games set up just to free play. Probably have Zarvot there, so you should come out and check that out.
And we also have a Patreon set up, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear. Even $1 a month will help us keep this content coming at you every week. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast or getting exclusive content. So head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. I'm Austin Morales.
And I am Brett Yanosky.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in, and we'll catch y'all next week with some more video game news and craziness in video games and Brett being weird and me being normal.
Exactly. As it should be. Kitty, I'm ready.
It's a check, check, test, 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 check, check, check. I'm drinking beer and it's morning time because I want to and I'm an adult.
You are an alcoholic.
I don't have any coffee, so I don't have anything to get my fix.
I thought you said you were making coffee this morning.
I don't have any more coffee.